Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 10th, 2022 meeting of the Arroyo Grande City Council. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Storton.
Here.
Councilmember Paulding.
Here.
Councilmember Varnish.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem George.
Here.
Mayor Ray Russom.
Here. Would you please silently join me in a moment of reflection? Thank you. This evening, our Mayor Pro Tem will lead us in the flag salute.
Please stand.
Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did I say this morning? I think I did. We are on item five. This is a agenda review. Does anybody have any need to reorganize any items tonight? Okay, and we will proceed as published. For closed session announcements, we have none, nor do we have any ordinances this evening. So that takes us straight into special presentations. Item 6A being our update regarding countywide COVID-19 efforts. City Manager McDonald.
Thank you very much. I am happy to report that I don't have much to report related to COVID. We do just have some new state guidance that the county had incorporated into their health orders, which I believe I mentioned at our last meeting. The quarantine and isolation requirements have changed slightly to make them a little bit more streamlined. And then Cal OSHA issued new temporary regulations just on the 6th to try to provide a little bit more guidance there. What we're seeing kind of as a general trend is some of the regulations are just getting a little more easier to comply with, a little more user-friendly. So as an example, under the Cal OSHA guidelines, we can now allow somebody to take an at-home test and they just need to take a picture of it as opposed to going through some kind of more elaborate process. So just wanted to let everyone know we do have those new orders coming from the state, but nothing other than that to report.
All right, let's check in and see if the council has any questions. Okay, we'll open public comment at this time. And so if you'd like to come forward and ask a question or make a comment about countywide COVID-19 efforts, now's the time. Okay, seeing no one in-house, do we have someone online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to make a comment on this item, please raise your hand. If you're calling in by phone, please dial *9 to raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. So I'll close public comment and move us forward to item 6B. This is City Manager Communications.
Thank you. For this evening, I just would like to highlight a couple of agenda items coming up on May 24th and then June 14th. So we anticipate on May 24th having our discussion of the sales tax measure that we discussed at our last meeting. We will be bringing that forward for review and recommended action to move forward with that measure. So I believe we talked about that occurring on June 14th in our prior meeting. We've decided to actually move that forward just to accommodate, make sure we have everyone, the schedules working properly. So that is a slight change and we're doing it a little earlier. So we will be bringing that on May 24th. At the same meeting, we will have our five-year review of our local sales tax, and that is the measure 06 revenue, and that measure required us to report in a public hearing on our spending and revenue from that measure, so that happens to fall on the same meeting. And then on June 14th, we will be looking at our second half of our biennial budget, so looking at proposing a few kind of tweaks and modifications to what was approved last year for the upcoming fiscal year. We also have our trash rate hearing that will be held. A Proposition 218 notice was mailed out. Customers should have gotten them in the mail, providing notice that the council will be considering a trash rate increase that was discussed previously at a prior meeting and considering moving forward with that as well. I also should mention, kind of going back to May 24th, we will also be talking about our capital improvement plan. So going over some updates and revisions. We do have a lot of projects that we're working on. We've kind of reorganized and had to reprioritize some of those based on our use of ARPA money. We need to make sure we get those done using the funds that we were provided by the federal government. So we're looking forward to bringing that forward on May 24th. So that's it from me for updates.
Okay, again, I'll check in with the council, see if anyone has questions. And I'll open it up to the public. Would anyone here like to speak on item 6B, the city manager communications? Okay, seeing no one in-house, is there anybody online?
Any of the public on Zoom would like to make a comment on this item, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. So I will close public comment and invite Officer Aaliyah Esparza up to the front for an honorary proclamation.
Good evening. Good evening. This is an honorary proclamation declaring the week of May 11th through 17th, 2022 as National Police Week and May 15th, 2022 as National Peace Officers Memorial Day. Whereas Arroyo Grande City Council recognizes that law enforcement officers play an important role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms which are guaranteed by the Constitution, and whereas the members of Law Enforcement Agency of Arroyo Grande play an essential role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms of the citizens of Arroyo Grande, and whereas it is important that all citizens know and understand the problems, duties, and responsibilities of their police department, and that members of our police department recognize their duty to serve the people by safeguarding life and property, and by ensuring quality of life, by protecting them against violence and disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception, and the weak against oppression or intimidation. And whereas Sunday, May 15th, 2022 will commemorate National Peace Officers Memorial Day, which recognizes and honors those who lost their lives in the line of duty, including Detective Luca Benedetti of the San Luis Obispo Police Department, who was killed in the line of duty on May 10th, 2021. And the City Council thanks Detective Benedetti and each peace officer whose watch has ended on behalf of Arroyo Grande for their service. And whereas this nation asks much of our federal, state, tribal, and local police officers and deputies, and it is Arroyo Grande's responsibility to ensure that those who protect and serve have the training, resources, and support they need to do their jobs well. Arroyo Grande will do everything possible to support the men and women who courageously protect the city. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, Karen Ray Russom, Mayor of the City of Arroyo Grande, do hereby proclaim May 11th through 17th, 2022 as National Police Week and May 15th, 2022 as National Peace Officers Memorial Day. I call upon the citizens of Arroyo Grande to observe these events with appropriate ceremonies and activities. We certainly would like to have you speak.
Hello, I didn't have much prepared today, but just in short, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be able to represent our whole department. You know, we really work hard to engage with the public and just show them that we are here for them. They're the reason that we have our jobs. You know, it's all about them. Detective Benedetti, in the history, I didn't work side by side with him, but I know a lot of our guys did. And he was very passionate about what he did. And I feel like Arroyo Grande is that. We're passionate about what we do day in and day out. So I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be able to represent the department as a whole. It's not just me, it's everybody. So thank you.
And let's see if the council has anything they'd like to add. Mayor Pro Tem?
Don't go anywhere.
Thank you, Officer Esparza. That's not the first time you've been up here accepting something on someone's behalf. Thank you, Chief Martinez. I feel like you need to stand up and be recognized as well. Under your leadership, your department protects and serves our community, and I thank you wholeheartedly for that.
I'll just add to that. Thank you. And I recently went on a ride along with AGPD and was so impressed with the caliber of our officers and the way that they interacted with the public and showed that integrity and just good public service. So thank you so much for what you do.
I too want to say thank you as well, having a history in law enforcement and working with professionals, people like you, people like the chief, just really proud of Array Grandy and the work that's done with this community. So thank you.
And the only thing I'll add is I just love that our motto is preserving quality of life, not protecting and serving. And that just shows that our department continually goes above and beyond just protecting and serving. Thank you so much for what you do.
We appreciate it.
So at this time, I'll open up public comment. Would anyone like to comment on item 6C? Okay, seeing no one in chambers, we'll check in with AGP.
If anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment on this item, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. So I'll close public comment on item 6C and open public comment on item 7. This is community comments and suggestions. This is the community's chance to come forward and talk to us about items that are not on tonight's agenda. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less and address the council as one body. Would anyone like to come forward on item 7, items not on tonight's agenda? Come on up. You don't have to raise your hand.
All right. Good evening. My name is Chris Rodebush, and I'm representing the We Are the Care initiative. I know there is something on the agenda regarding child care later on, but I'm not going to be speaking directly to that item. I wanted to start with a quick story from a local parent. She says, I had to find care for my infant son when my in-laws were suddenly unable to care for him any longer while my husband and I were at work. I added my son to 15 different wait lists, and over the next year and a half, I heard back from two. Neither of those centers were able to offer us a spot for my son during the time that we were in desperate need, and we had to piece together care for my son between a multitude of friends, in addition to the husband and I taking time off work. Thankfully, I work in a child care center, so my son was able to come to school with me once he reached 18 months of age. But I can't imagine what I would have done if this persisted and I had nowhere for him to go. I probably would have had to quit my job to stay at home and care for him. This is just one of the many desperate parents in SLO counties. These are the stories that we're hearing, and these are the stories that we are going to hope to continue to gather. We Are the Care, as you may know, was born out of the Where's the Care town hall back in May 2019, which is amazing that that's 3 years ago now. And over the past few years, you have heard from us. Our work has been inspired by parents and providers' voices here on the Central Coast. We know that feeling truly heard and knowing that others are deeply listening to our struggles is how we begin to feel supported and how goals are formed and achieved. Because of this, the We Are the Care is launching a Community Voices Tour this month across SLO County. The Community Voices Tour and accompanying survey, which I'll share with you all, will allow us to gather experiences, struggles, victories, and needs from parents and caregivers. The survey will inform our work to identify areas of priority moving forward and as we continue to shore up supports for SLO County child care systems. I want to especially express gratitude to this city council for your continued support. I'm excited about the coming conversation regarding ARPA funding. And not only have you listened to our message, but you've addressed it and you've put that into action. So I want to express deep appreciation to all of you. The Community Voices Tour will be here in your area, not technically AG, but we're going to meet at the 16th Street Park on Saturday, July 16th from 9:30 to 11 to hear stories. And if you want to hear more and learn more about We Are the Care, you're welcome to visit www.firstfiveslow.org. Thank you so much, and we'll be back soon.
Yeah. If you'd like to give those to the city clerk, that'd be great. Thank you so much. Would anyone else like to come forward on community comments or suggestions? Okay, seeing no one in chambers, I'll check in with AGP.
If anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
All right, then I will close public comment. Item 7, we'll move on to the consent agenda. And this is collectively this evening, items 8A through 8J. And so first I'll check in with the council to see if they'd like to pull anything for questions or separate consideration. OK, Okay. And for me, I simply want to pull 8J for separate consideration. So since we have no, do we have any questions? No, we already said that. So let's go ahead and open up public comment. Does anyone in chambers would they like to come speak on items 8A through 8I? Okay, seeing none. Again, I'll check in with AGP. We'll take item 8J separately.
If anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment on these items, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. Then let's bring it back around to the council for possible action and or discussion.
I'll move to approve consent agenda items 8A through 8I.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Storton?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
Yes.
Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes. And for 8J, there's no discussion to be had. This is just one where I'm in the minority, so I'm just pulling this for separate vote. But I will go ahead and open up public comment to see if anyone would like to speak on item 8J. This is the support for the application of funding for the Briscoe Halcyon Road Interchange Project. Would anyone in chambers like to come forward? Okay, seeing no one, I'll ask AGP.
If anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment on this item, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. So I'll close comment and bring it back around to the council for commentary or discussion and possible action.
And Madam Mayor, I would move approval of item 8J.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. City Clerk Mattson, can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Councilmember Storton?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
Yes.
Mayor Ray Russom?
No. For item 9, public hearings, we have none this evening, so that takes us straight into business. This is consideration of updated council goals and priorities for fiscal year 2022-23. And it says McDonald here. I presume it will be City Manager McDonald.
Apparently, I decided I wanted to see the room from a different view. Thank you. So we're here to discuss our goals and priorities for the upcoming fiscal year. These will largely look familiar. We're really just in a process of reviewing and updating what we looked at last year to make sure they're all applicable and we're kind of all on the same page about what we're going to be working on the upcoming year. So back in September of 2020, our council looked at and approved a list of top 10 priorities for the remainder of that fiscal year, and finally received an update in March to let everyone know where we were at with achieving those goals and priorities. At that time, direction was provided that we should undertake this process each year so that we are establishing goals and priorities really largely in time to make sure our budget really is in line with what those goals and priorities are for the upcoming year. So we undertook these efforts again in April of the following month to make sure we were approving a set of goals and priorities that would be in line with our budget. This year we are headed toward the second year of a two-year biennial budget. So our goals and priorities did kind of take some of that into consideration, but we knew we wanted to come back and take a look at these again to make sure they're all accurate and still reflecting what we talked about at that time. The budget document included not only the list of goals, but also estimated timeframes for completion of each item. We did bring this forward as well a couple months ago in February to give an update to let everyone know where we were at with the 2020 through 22 goals. And just to provide a little reminder, we had incorporated these into three broad categories, investing in the future, investing in city infrastructure and facilities, and investing in people. So here we are to take a look at a set of proposed goals and priorities for the upcoming year. this again is largely the same as what we looked at previously. We removed items that had been completed and added in or incorporated items that we received direction to pursue. And a number of these items are kind of flowing from the work we have done over the past year. So we'll provide some examples of that as we go through this list. So we do have a goal of beginning a comprehensive general plan update. This was something we talked about using SB 1090 funds to pursue this project, which will be a big undertaking. Our general plan is over 20 years old, and we'd like to take a look at it and look at updating it. We want to begin by doing a scoping discussion. We anticipate that occurring now sometime in summer and fall. We are about a year off from where we were hoping at this time last year. We've had some turnover in staff and other priorities that have kind of slid in front of this. But we do anticipate bringing this forward for, again, a scoping discussion that will essentially make sure we get direction on how broad and deep do we want to go with the general plan update? Will it address all of our elements or maybe not. So we'll bring that forward again in the summer or fall of this year. We are continuing to work on housing initiatives, including those that are funded by grant programs. And so as an example, our regional pre-approved ADU plans are underway and on track and expected to be completed this year. We are also considering to include objective design standards into the comprehensive general plan update. That is a project that we are receiving some grant funding from the state to pursue that. And then we added the development of a permanent parklet program to the list of goals this year. And that's following direction we received from the council recently to get that program up and running. We have been continuing to work on ADU ordinance amendments. I've brought those forward to the council and had a good discussion. We anticipate bringing that back this summer for further direction and wrapping that up later this year. Water resiliency was another topic in our current fiscal year's goals and priorities. We brought forward a discussion of long and short-term water resiliency options and discussed that with council and took a number of items out of that discussion and carried them into this year's set of goals and priorities that we plan on addressing in this upcoming year. So that includes Central Coast Blue. There are a number of steps identified here, including forming of a joint powers authority, participation in joint city council meetings, and your staff is participating in a technical advisory committee to help support that project progressing forward. We will pursue a short-term water purchase agreement with Oceano CSD. That was an item that was directed by the council. We have not yet started those discussions in earnest, but we'll be doing that anticipated later this year. We have added an urban water management plan update to the list. This is something that we are required to update every 10 years, essentially, by the state. And those efforts are underway and will be completed and brought to your council this summer. We also anticipate providing a two-year look ahead on where we're at with water supply and our drought response. This is something that staff would like to bring to the council to provide some input and information about just essentially where are we at with our water supply. We are in a drought. It is concerning to the public as well as us, and I'm sure the council. So we want to commit to bringing that forward so everybody is aware of where we're at. And we've also added amendments to our Zone 3 contract. So this is the contract that provides water to the city from Lopez Reservoir. We have been working with the county to make some amendments to that contract. And so we anticipate that bringing that forward. Most recent estimate was that the county may be ready to do that perhaps in this summer. So by the time we get around to it, it may be summer or fall this year. So we will be continuing our support of economic development initiatives. including a determination of whether a baseline analysis of our existing and future business needs will be included in the general plan update. And then we've brought forward the concept of discussing enabling cannabis businesses and are proposing to have that conversation with council in spring of 2023. We are continuing to do a number participate in a number of meetings and efforts to address homelessness and emergency shelter needs. So council directed that we allocate $300,000 of our ARPA funding toward a potential new homeless shelter that Five Cities Homeless Coalition is looking to develop. And we anticipate continuing those discussions and bringing forward a more detailed discussion of what that would look like in winter or spring of either this year or next year. A lot of that's depending on how things are going on their end, as well as other partner agencies. We have also been working with a number of faith leaders in our community to look at limited safe parking program options and looking at a program that we might be able to develop and bring forward that could allow for a very small amount of safe parking to happen based on some of the discussions we've had about the need in the community and the ability to accommodate that in a very limited fashion. So we anticipate kind of putting together a program for discussion with the council. It is something that we've been looking at, but it is going to take us a little more time. So we're looking at probably winter of this year. In our last year's goals, we talked about, or this year's, I suppose we're still in it, discussing the Five Cities Fire Authority service delivery methods and options. We did do that discussion earlier in the year. And so we kind of took that item off of the goals and priorities for this year. But we know we are going to need to address the future of the Five Cities Fire Authority, depending on the outcome of the ballot measure that's occurring in Oceano in June. There will be a number of work efforts on our part to figure out what the options are for moving forward, depending on the outcome of that election. We have started some of that work now, and we'll be kind of kicking that into high gear probably after June, just depending on what the outcome is. And requires everyone to get your glasses out. We've added a sales tax measure pursuing that and potential long-term financing for pavement maintenance and other infrastructure maintenance needs. So this is looking at just the efforts that would be needed depending on the outcome of our meeting on May 24th to move forward with that measure. And also discussing and potentially moving forward with some bond financing or lease revenue bonds for our pavement maintenance. So we anticipate a number of items coming forward summer through winter of this year. And we've identified a number of key infrastructure projects we will be working on. Of course, you will see the capital improvement program coming to you at our next meeting on May 24th. There's going to be a lot of items on there. We've kind of pulled out some of the, I suppose, bigger work items and some of the key projects that we've talked about with the council in the past. So Briscoe Interchange Project, we will pursue the federal grants as directed at our last meeting where we discussed this project. And depending on the outcome of that, we'll move forward with next steps at that point. We have been working on the Trafficway Bridge replacement. That project's going to continue moving forward, including completion of design and then construction. We anticipate starting in summer of 2024. We will be initiating an alternative transportation plan. We received grant funding from the state for that effort, which is very exciting. I think that's going to provide a lot of backbone planning efforts that will help us then obtain even grant funding for specific projects identified in that plan. So that effort will be kicked off this summer. We have a couple of kind of items to tick off in order to finally receive the grant funding, and we're looking forward to bringing that forward. It will take us some time to get that completed, but we anticipate kicking that off this summer. And we've also identified initiating and completing projects that are funded through ARPA, because that is a priority for us. And finally, we've added, this is a new item compared to what's in the staff report, so I wanted to highlight it. It's in italics and underlined here. We are continuing work on the Halcyon Complete Streets Plan. This is something that staff has been working on. It's been underway for years, and we're wanting to wrap it up. But we know we need to do some additional outreach to the community, re-engage a stakeholder plan, and come to the council for a study session to talk about the plan and explicitly what was previously identified as a roundabout at Fair Oaks and Halcyon, and proposing an alternative to that. So we look forward to doing that as part of a study session in the fall of this year, and then completing the plan and bringing it back for adoption after that. Okay, we will continue to evaluate options for replacing the Markham Millis Community Center. It is not in great shape, and it is it's come to the end of its life, and we need to determine what's next for that building and potential replacement options. So there's a lot of pieces that go into that, and we're anticipating being able to bring that forward in spring of next year. And finally, this was, and that item was on our list from this current year. Similarly, completing a fee study, has been on our list for this year. We anticipate beginning that this summer, and bringing that forward for potential adoption in early next year. So under our investing in people category, we are continuing to pursue educational opportunities for staff and our officials to implement our diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice policy, which council did adopt this year. We anticipate continuing to increase public engagement through surveys, social media engagement, and other public events. We have a number of internal technology improvements that we're bringing forward and working on, a number of software changes, including human resource software. We have implemented an agenda management software, but there's a couple of pieces to it that we're still want to bring forward and complete. And accounting management software, that process is going to take most likely a few years, even after procurement, to get it done, because it's quite a lift in making the transition. So we want to get that started. We're anticipating starting the procurement this summer. And additionally, our public safety cameras need upgrades, and we're in the process of procurement for that project and anticipate hopefully getting it done this winter. We have an ongoing goal of focusing our resources and implementing efficiency to ensure optimized service levels, as well as implementing employee retention, attraction, recruitment, development, and support strategies. That will include a citywide salary survey that will begin, the procurement process for a consultant will begin this summer. So it's a lot of detail. But it is our recommendation that we review these goals and priorities, and if they look good to the council, to have them approved, and we will incorporate them again into the budget presentation we bring forward in June.
All right, thank you very much. Let's check in with the council and see if there are any questions about the staff report. Councilmember Storton?
No, thank you. Just comments.
Okay. Councilmember Paulding?
Thank you. Just a couple of quick questions. Let's see. So I didn't see under the water section pursuing a ballot measure to enable the city to pursue state water in a non-emergency situation. And I can't remember if our council had directed that.
So that's an excellent question. That was one of the items that we were directed to pursue under the long and short-term water supply alternatives that we talked about. The thinking on our part is in terms of timing, that and if we are going to be pursuing an additional ballot measure, that it might be overwhelm, or potentially, you know, we just want to be selective perhaps on where we focus our energies. The other element as well is the availability of state water is not, it's not here and ready for us right now. And so we kind of took all those into consideration just from a timing standpoint. But that is something that we could, you know, if that's something that is much more urgent that we certainly wanted to get done. I'm looking at our city clerk because of all the timeframes involved with trying to get a measure like that on the ballot. It would be a lot for staff to try to accommodate both, essentially more than one ballot measure at the same time.
Right. Are we thinking, and that totally makes sense. Are we thinking then 2024?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. And then on the safe parking, limited safe parking program, I know some of the stakeholders will not be pleased to hear that obviously it isn't a higher priority, but I know that we have a lot of things we're working on. I guess I just wonder, because the county is undertaking its strategic planning process now, and one of their goals is to identify a safe parking location in South County, if we need to consider, you know, the relative priority of that effort.
In terms of adding, is that to add an additional kind of goal or priority in working with the county through its efforts, or is it to change the timing of what we might work on for our city specific program?
Just to be aware that the timing might change in light of the fact that the county is working toward that goal, and if we need to have alignment in terms of our efforts, and if there's opportunity to collaborate, that we would.
Yes.
And I'm just looking at the timeline and wondering if it needs to be expedited. But obviously at this point, the county is starting the implementation of this new strategic plan. The identification of a, you know, South County location will be based on collaborative efforts, right?
That's right.
It's kind of separate and apart from the program as discussed with the faith community.
I certainly think it can be. However, one, you know, let's say the county does create a new site, and it, depending on the size and how it's run and who is targeting, it may or may not, you know, meet the need of what a city program could do. I'm not sure. So we have been discussing and working quite closely with the county and with their new homeless services manager, Joe Zvonik, to make sure we're abreast of the plan that's being discussed. And actually, we are trying to coordinate with the county and Mr. Zvonik, as well as Mr. Horton, about potentially coming and providing a presentation to the council on that plan to get the word out, not just to our council, but also to the public, so they can come and hear what's in that plan and how they anticipate carrying it out. And that, I believe this is just kind of the first step of a number that will be coming forward that the county is spearheading. And we're definitely in very close contact with them and continue discussing the issue.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good. Thank you. And then my last question just relates to our item 11A, the discussion regarding Short Street and the mention in the staff report of park development funds. And then you had mentioned in your presentation the Mark M. Millis building. And I just wanted to be aware of whether or not our park development funds could actually go to that as opposed to like a Short Street project.
Sure. So we have two different essentially impact fee related accounts and funds. One, they are intended to address two different types of impacts. So the park development fund is essentially our Quimby fee account. It's our Quimby in lieu fee. So it is intended to help us develop new parks, so to add more square footage. I think that would probably not work for replacement of an existing building, but we have a separate fund, and the name is escaping me, that is intended to provide for ongoing maintenance needs. The amount of money in that second fund is currently much less than the Quimby fee account, but it is something that I think most likely we could use that second revenue source for the Markham Millis building, but I think that we have something like $250,000 in that account.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification. Those are all my questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. Just to piggyback, I think, Jimmy, on your question regarding the safe parking, it's my understanding, and the city manager can correct me if I'm wrong, but from the discussions I've been in, the city is sort of working right along with the county. I think that when they're asking, we're responding. When they're meeting, we're meeting with them, and we're kind of just moving along at the same pace. Does that make sense?
It does. I just, you know, Councilmember George and I attended two meetings with the faith community, and there are some churches that want to be involved, and I just hope that they can be involved sooner than later. So for our council to discuss a safe parking ordinance, you know, in winter as opposed to earlier, seems like it's a little bit pushed off, but I understand we have relative priorities. That's why we're having the conversation.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple questions. On page 4 and 5, under the investing in people, implement the diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, pursuing educational opportunities. I just was wondering if, since that's ongoing, I don't know if anything's happened, but if you could just share with the council and the community if those are conferences or just some more detail on that, and maybe along the same and maybe this would be more Jessica regarding the the public engagement with the city, public outreach, surveys, social media, and events ongoing. If you could share some of that, Jessica. Or Whitney can go first whatever.
Okay. Regarding engagement, we're always trying to build our following on social media. We have a great community communications coordinator that has some new ideas and expanding our social media, maybe some other platforms. I won't say which ones yet. We're kind of looking into that, expanding our reach out there. And then also we've talked in the past about public events such as pop-ups in the park of some sort, or just a presence out at community events that we already have, just increasing just our reach in the community too, and just having a city presence at events. So that right now that's what we're looking at.
Okay, thank you for that.
And then on the diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice initiatives, we do keep an eye out for trainings that are available, and they come in lots of different shapes and sizes. So one example is we do have staff who are participating in a 4-part series that the Institute for Local Government is putting on. And it's really focusing on trying to help us all know how to have conversations about race and about equity. And that's just one example. So it's mostly keeping an eye out for those training opportunities and prioritizing them in the sense of making sure everybody knows they're available and then setting them up, you know, making sure people are able, have the time in their schedules and prioritize them, and that we include them in the way that it's not just attending the trainings, but then it's kind of practicing them and trying to live them out. A step we've taken, and some folks may have noticed that our agendas, you know, we've tried to keep an eye out for making sure that we are aware of proclamations that might be appropriate to commemorate events and different, you know, months that are being celebrated in our nation to commemorate different, you know, ethnicities or backgrounds or different parts of sort of our American story and who we all are and who's here with us and what makes us all up and makes part of this experience so great. So we are incorporating those into our agendas by making sure we're just aware of what's coming up and giving voice to that for the community as well.
Thank you for that additional information.
Mayor Pro Tem George?
I have no questions. Thank you.
I didn't have any until I listened to my colleagues, so I just have a couple of questions. Jessica, this is for you. with regard to potentially pursuing state water. It's a pretty straightforward thing. Is it possible to do it in 2022?
It's possible if we stack and prioritize that. We do have to have everything to the clerk recorder by August 12th. So we have to backtrack from there to give us time for arguments and rebuttals and public review. So just looking at our agenda forecast, we would have to work that in there.
Okay. And then does that vote like that one does not require a supermajority, does it?
I'm not sure. Tim's on the line if he can. I don't know if he can answer that.
Yeah. It's weird when he's not sitting here. I don't think of him. Tim, are you there?
I am here. No, it does not.
Okay. So that makes organizing that potentially easier if we chose to do it. Okay. Those are my only two questions at this time. So yes, go ahead.
The one I forgot to ask is the salary survey. So when approximately do we anticipate the survey to be completed? I know that there's steps before that, but just what are we anticipating? I noticed it was 2022 to 23. So in the beginning of 2023, we might have the information.
I would think so. Yeah. Okay. By then.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
So at this time, I'll go ahead and open up public comments, see if anybody would like to come forward on our council goals and priorities.
Good evening, Patty Welsh. A couple of things stood out as you guys were talking about this. As you're getting ready to do the permanent parkettes that I oppose because I find you're favoring some businesses over others and you're actually hurting some businesses by placing those there. But now you're taking away our street parking and you're talking about putting in paid parking. Just kind of rubs me wrong. On the part about investing in people, many people in this community have given up on charter, so they don't get Channel 20. They don't know what goes on with council meetings. They pay their bills online, so they don't get any notices that I get because my bills get mailed to me. I think it's something that the city might want to look into as to other ways to keep the public informed. And lastly, water. I think that needs to be put on this year. We're running out of water. We've got the worst drought in 1,200 years. Let's make water a priority finally. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to come forward? All right, seeing no one, we'll ask AGP.
If anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment on this item, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. And any written correspondence received?
No, there are none.
All right. So I'll close public comment, bring this back down to the council and or down around. Councilmember Storton, you said you had comments?
Well, I do. First of all, I appreciate the work that's been done on this. We've discussed many of these items already throughout the year, so I appreciate the brevity of the report and the ability for a citizen to look at this in a short document to understand what's going on. I am a little intrigued, though, by the discussion I think we're going to have here about a potential state water initiative. I would be curious from staff's perspective. It's one of those things where if we add this, what do we take away? And I think we need to have that serious discussion, but I would be interested in the discussion. So I'll leave it at that for now.
Councilmember Paulding.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, I too just want to thank staff for the hard work, especially our city manager for preparing this document. I think it's a very important process for us to go through and determine what our priorities are. I also want to commend staff for one of the levels of effort that wasn't identified on here, and that was the Safe Routes for All Community Betterments Program grant application. So at the SLOCOG board, we were able to generate a new local grant program that essentially expands Safe Routes for All. and or Safe Routes to School, and our staff was able to get an application in for that for part of the Halcyon Complete Streets project. So I want to commend staff for that. I know that it's been busy, especially with the Briscoe Interchange project grant application. I'm happy to discuss the state water initiative, but I would look to, again, just echo Councilmember Storton's comment about hearing from staff in terms of relative priorities. I know that we are, given our current groundwater allocation, our Lopez Lake allocation, our work on the CC, the Central Coast Blue Recycled Water Project, and the discussion here about talking about procuring water from Oceana, we're probably in a pretty good, safe situation. I'd be interested just from a high level standpoint, just to hear staff's perspective on that. And then if we were able to elevate the timing of at least kind of closing the loop on the work that we've done with the faith-based community, I think that would be helpful in terms of the safe parking program. But I understand if it it just isn't a priority given all the other things that we're working on. So those are my comments at the moment.
Steph, do you want to comment on, he said he wanted to hear from you, so let's go ahead and hear from you.
In terms of sort of high level where we're at with our water supply, we do have over 1,300 acre feet of groundwater entitlement, essentially, that's been allocated to the city over the past year and a half or so. We really haven't been drawing on that very much with the concern just about the health of the basin overall. So I believe from what I've heard from our staff, I think that is definitely a resource that we can start tapping into. That 2-year look ahead of where we're at with our groundwater resources as well will give us even more details, as well as our urban water management plan. The urban water management plan is really an excellent planning tool to give us an idea of where we are, not just now, but for the next 10 years with our water supply. But as far as I know, I think we are okay. Of course, Lopez is what we're looking at very closely. Things aren't looking great there, but the step we've taken with the reduction, I think we do keep an eye on that. But, you know, it's certainly my inclination that our customers are doing a lot to conserve, and they're being asked to do more, and they're still adjusting. We are still adjusting to the 10% reduction overall. We'd like to wait and see how that goes and see where we're at before considering going any further, because we've asked a lot of people and we want to be very careful before we ask any more of them, especially with their water usage. So that's just sort of higher level where we're at, I think, right now. But we do have that groundwater resource that is there that we've been trying to be good stewards of. But it is available, and it is something that we could draw on more if we needed to.
The second part, I guess, of my question, if we're just doing questions right now, was the timing availability level of effort associated with putting that ballot on the ballot measure on the November ballot. And I would also just state, I know that we at the moment, for the public's benefit, can, under emergency circumstances, take state water if we need to.
That is correct.
Okay. Would be simply allowing us to take state water or negotiate contracts for state water in non-emergency situations.
That's correct. So that went partway into our calculation in terms of timing, that we are able to call upon that if it is available and it is something that we need to do, and it makes, you know, good financial sense as well, because there is obviously a cost associated with that. So it is something that we can call upon now, especially given that we're in a drought. I know that sounds probably backwards, you know, and it's really helpful to be reminded we do have some flexibility in there, that even though we normally can't take state water, we could do that now. Yeah, that's correct.
And I asked this question, but maybe I didn't ask it fully, so I'm going to jump in because we're on that topic. I don't know if this is for Jessica or Whitney. Maybe it's Jessica. So you said we have to prepare the measure, than the arguments for and against, right? That's essentially the staff time, right? So who does that specifically?
It's a team effort. It's between the city manager, city clerk, and city attorney. And then I would imagine with this type of measure that Bill and Shane would be involved in the process as well.
Okay. And that's just simply to ask permission to buy in non-emergency situations, right?
That's right.
Right. My thinking is that what we would have to write is, right, we're asking the public to allow us to essentially amend the ordinance that they passed by ballot measure to make that change. So showing them what it currently says and what we then would want it to say after the fact, after the vote.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Barnage, comments?
Let's see. So I do appreciate the addition of the Halcyon Complete Streets Plan. It's been hanging out there for a while, and I seem like we make some progress, and then we hear about it, and then I'm not quite sure where it is, and there are changes. So I appreciate that. And then investing in the people, I really appreciate the growth of our social media. I think staff has done a really a great job as far as reaching people. It's really, the growth is incredible. Definitely appreciate the proclamations regarding DEI initiatives. I've definitely noticed new proclamations coming forward that we've never had before. And so that takes some effort to find those and research and put the information together. And I think it's important to those people that are in those communities that those are impactful to them. I know we've talked about those farmers market pop-ups before. There's just people that aren't on social media. And I mean, even if it's something 6 months from now, if we could just put something on the calendar, because I know it just gets busy and it just kind of keeps being out there of something to plan for. And even if we pick a month that's not as particularly impacted to staff, if we could just do that, I think it'd be great just for a couple hours. People can just stop by and just ask questions. And I think that would be a nice way to reach the community. And then also just something to think about as far as the DEI initiatives. I just wonder if there's other ideas that staff's been brainstorming of things we can just, maybe there are, and they're just not, that's kind of a brief version of what we're doing about our DEI initiatives. But I think it's one of our top goals. We've talked about as a council a lot. I think it's really, really important. It just gets more important every day with what people are facing. And so if there's just any other ideas that don't take a ton of staff time, but it's just something out there that maybe another city's doing and we haven't thought of, I would just appreciate just maybe hearing about it at a later date if we can going forward. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem George.
Thank you. I'm piggybacking off of the state water question. So when we pursue a short-term water purchase agreement with Oceano, isn't that state water? Just buying it through Oceano?
It could be, mm-hmm. Or it could be Lopez water. So because it depends on how we set that up and how it works for Oceano, what works for them. And so it could be that's the way that Oceano is able to secure and then provide us that water for that shorter term. I believe when we talked about longer term water supply and short term alternatives, that Oceano has some constraints on their end from not being able, I believe, mm-hmm. to enter into a permanent water supply contract to provide state water. But in a temporary and an emergency basis, it's kind of interesting how they almost line up, right? Where we might need it in an emergency and they might be able to provide it in an emergency. So that's a good option for us. Yeah.
So would that option be a good solution to buy us time to 2024 so we don't have to rush to get on the 2022 ballot?
I think so. Yes, that was part of the calculation as well.
Go ahead.
So that just brings up another question. I thought with the with Oceano, I thought that they could not sell us state water unless they went to the voters and asked if they could do that. I didn't know, or I'm unsure now if it's an emergency, they wouldn't have to go to the voters, I guess is my question.
I think the distinction is whether they sell it to us permanently.
Oh, okay. That was it. Okay. Thank you.
So my comments are, looking at this being an election year, it's quite possible that, January, we're going to see a couple new colleagues on the bench here, and it would be nice for them to come in and have a rough idea of what we've been working towards. And so I really appreciate these goals and priorities, not just for our current council and for the public, but also for future councils as well. We have very clear and measurable goals, and they're very lofty goals. They're very substantial, a lot of heavy lifting. And I say that because that takes a lot of staff effort and resources. And so when we look at the priorities and prioritizing our employees, I think has to be something that we take very seriously. I support the salary survey. I support staff satisfaction, staff recruitment, staff retention, and staff training. I think that in order for us to achieve all these goals that we talk about, there has to be people to do the work. And so I will reiterate as many times as I need to that they can't do the work if we don't have the people to do the work. So I appreciate staff's efforts and everything that you guys do every day to keep our city running and to accomplish the goals that we set out. And I just want to make sure that we have staff moving forward in the future. And if we need more, that our council would support that. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah, sure,
about State Water? Thank you. Since we've talked about this a little bit more, I was curious just from your perspective, if you felt there was any positive to bring it forward in 22 as opposed to 24. I imagine if you felt that it was of an immediate value, you would have made that recommendation. But kind of based on what you said with our other water supplies, waiting an additional 2 years would be a satisfactory as far as timing and process.
From our perspective, I think that should work and we should be fine and be able to get to that point in 2024. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And I just want to add additional comment that I meant to add. All these things that we see on these lists are incredible, wonderful things that help move us forward, but staff still has a day-to-day operation of running our city and doing all those additional things that happen that just have to happen because it's needed day after day. So I do appreciate the detail of this, but also the work that's done on the day-to-day level. So thank you.
For me, based on all the discussion that we've had kind of after the fact, I'm okay with leaving that to 2024, but I don't want that to fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe we might've got lucky on this one, but I'd like to make sure that comes forward and maybe that's mentioned in goals and priorities next year. And I'm hoping that staff will help us remember to do that. The salary schedule issue, I think, is actually bigger than what it appears here. And I'd like to have that come forward as fast as possible. We've had problems recruiting people. And the fact of the matter is we need to pay them more. That's just all there is to it. We're not getting work done. It's heck out there with a employment rate that's 3.6%. Why would anybody come here? And so we need to have that top of mind. So I hope that's going to come as fast as possible. And finally, just as a comment, So each one of these items I went through very carefully, and they have some due dates on there. I or the public can look at this and clearly see what staff is working on. But there are three items on there that all say ongoing without due dates. And they're good things, but I think at this point they're things we folded into what we do. And that's different than a priority item. So I wonder if it's not time in terms of this particular document to pull off the ones that say just ongoing, like we're going to continue to try to do this. That's not a priority item. A priority item is we're working on this thing and it's going to come on this day. So I'd like to kind of put that out there and hear from the council in terms of, I don't mean to say that these aren't important things. They should be in our mission statements. They should be up on the wall when people walk in. These are where they see those value statements. And this has now become a value statement rather than a priority effort. And so they're specifically on pages 4 and 5, the investing in people, the diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice, the first two items and the third item, that, you know, these are just part of our culture now. And that's a great thing. I'm really, really proud of that. But I'm not sure it's a council priority for next year. Councilman Barnage, I see your light on.
So that was why I asked, because there aren't, it is an ongoing, what's listed here is ongoing, and I appreciate that. But what I was hoping that maybe we could do if we don't take these off is actually have a concrete goal. I'm afraid if they get taken off, not that we're not going to pursue what's going on here. We are. I don't think we're going to go backwards, but I also am looking for some other things to get to that have to do with these items. So I want to keep these on the forefront. If we could come up with some concrete projects, plans, ideas that have an end date, then I feel like it needs to stay on here, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. So I'd love to hear what those are, because otherwise I think it shouldn't.
So I don't know. I personally don't know what they are. If maybe staff wanted to sort of, if the council thinks that staff can maybe go back and come up with some things, then maybe we could see if they're important enough to keep on there and have a due date, if you will. I just can't think of anything right this second while we're sitting here, but I really hesitate taking them off because I want to keep working towards other things we can do with those in mind.
Well, and then we just put another task on their plate. So that's kind of where I'm at with that, is like, if we feel like this is almost a 2-year goal thing. We didn't really look at it that way last year, but maybe that's kind of how we can approach that every election cycle. But there was a heavy lift last year. There was really good stuff done. And now maybe it's time for a different heavy lift. And that is obviously going to be a great part of the general plan. So I don't want to pretend like we're going to make this a heavy lift if we don't have time to do it.
Well, and also I hesitate leaving everything lumped into the general plan, because that is a gigantic document that takes a long time to put together, and things definitely, no fault of staff or anyone, things get lost in there.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to put it in the general
plan. No, I know.
I meant that's where staff's effort's going to be. That's
okay.
The heavy lift.
Right. Because I see what you're saying. Okay.
No, I saw that as completely, that was kind of the point. I see that as completely separate, that that's where their heavy lift is going to be this year. And maybe we need to pull things off this list to allow the heavy lift. That's kind of where my thinking was. Councilmember Pauling?
My idea would be, what if we just took the ongoing items that at this current stage do not have a particular goal that's been identified in the right column, and just put those at the bottom of this table, ongoing items. So we're carrying the initial goal still moving forward, but we're not seeing just ongoing, and that's kind of just a delineation. And then if there is a particular goal in the future, we would add it back into the upper list with a particular goal. That's one concept. And then I would just say, if we're looking at the very bottom on page 5, the evaluate and implement employee retention, attraction, recruitment, et cetera, that one we could just delete the word ongoing, because we clearly have an objective target there, which is the salary survey. And then the one above it, focus resources, that could be a deprioritized or just an ongoing item that's indicated again at the bottom. And then same thing going up to the top of that table, maintain and increase public engagement, just move that to the bottom, say, label it as ongoing. And the same thing with the DEI goal. And those are the only ones that I'm seeing. Other than the homeless outreach on the bottom of page 3, which actually does have some specific goals and targets, but they're in the other column on the left, the Pursue 5 Cities Homeless Coalition proposal. That's a specific goal. So that one almost needs to go into the other column on the right. But I think little changes like that could be made without additional staff work effort and without a modification of this process. That would be my proposal.
I want to make sure I understand your proposal. Your proposal was to reorganize the chart? essentially. So it's not a change. You're just saying reorganize it.
Yeah, and it would be just slight modifications. I would pull the items that have nothing in the right column to the bottom and just have a heading that says ongoing work items and then list those. That would be one way. Looks like our city manager wants to chime in.
Apologies. Some of the right-hand column, some of these, in some places, the left and right are mirror each other, except that the right has timeframes. And then, except for maybe this one we're looking at right now that talks about technology systems and modernization, internal modernization efforts. This might be the one exception that actually breaks out what we mean by that on the right-hand column. But some of those other ones earlier under infrastructure, as an example, the right and left, should speak to when we intend to accomplish what we've listed in the right. So I don't know if that helps at all, but what I'm hearing in terms of potential direction, or at least what Councilmember Paulding I think is asking or recommending, is that we would move the items that don't have specific work efforts, projects with timeframes, and we'll pull those ones out and put them down underneath this table separately. And I think I think I have the list basically, which would be the DEI box, the focus resources, or the manage and increase public engagement with the city, and the focus resources and implement efficiencies to ensure optimized service levels. That maybe it would just be those three?
I think that's what I was proposing. It becomes a semantics discussion at some point, but it might be helpful.
Can I add? Yeah, I do think it kind of becomes a semantics. It's just an Excel spreadsheet I think it's Excel or some format that, you're putting information and telling what's going on. I think some of this says ongoing because what we can't identify as a class today may come up as a class in 2 months or 4 months or 6 months from now. And I trust that the city manager will keep us appraised on how these specific objectives are moving forward, because some of them just can't be identified specifically at the moment. But I like the idea of keeping them on here because they are important and it's something we've identified as important. I'm actually fine with just keeping it as ongoing. And I know the communication is clear that we will be provided with that information as these things come up, the social media engagement and events. These things are events and processes that are going to happen throughout the year, but perhaps can't be identified specifically today because we need to be flexible with some of this information and be able to adapt and pivot to respond to something that may happen in 2 months or 4 months that we can't necessarily identify right now.
That sounds good to me. I think reorganizing the charge, just reorganizing deck chairs. So, but I don't want to say on the Titanic because we're not going down, but I don't know that would be helpful, but, and so that's fine. If y'all want to leave it, that's fine. I just wanted to pose that question because I really do like that we are using this document that we know that the council has to react and think on the fly. And there will be things that get added to this in the next year, but this causes us to stop and pause every time because we've got it written as to what we said was a priority. And if we make the conscious choice to say, yeah, but because this other thing happened, then we can do that. But it's much more formalized and helpful in this way. And especially, like you said, going into an election year when we know that this council by definition is going to be different. So that's really good for carrying institutional memory and knowledge forward. So would anyone like to make a motion? Yes, your mic on, Mayor Pro Tem.
Oh, I was just going to say I concur with Councilmember Storton, but I'd be happy to make a motion to approve the proposed updated city council goals and priorities for fiscal year 2022 and 23.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Okay, City Clerk Mattson, can we get a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem George?
Yes.
Councilmember Storton?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes. This takes us to item 11B. This is consideration of approval of a child care assistance grant program. And I'm sorry, 11A. I went way ahead. Sorry, no wonder you were looking at me. And I looked up and saw Director Pedrotti and realized I was smoking crack again. This is discussion and consideration of the current and future Short Street status and pedestrian plaza and park conceptual design and adoption of a resolution authorizing the continued closure of Short Street. Does that sound a little better, Director Pedrotti?
That sounds great.
Excellent. All right, thank sir.
You. All right. Good evening, Mayor Ray Russman and council members. Brian Pedrotti, Community Development Director. This is a consideration of current and future Short Street status and pedestrian plaza and park conceptual design. The purpose of this discussion is to provide a status update about the closure of Short Street and to receive direction on whether to move forward with development of a plan or permanently close Short Street for redevelopment as a pedestrian plaza and or public park, as well as direction regarding an implementation of an intermediate design plan for continuing closure. So it's a mouthful, but we'll start with the outline. We'll talk about a little bit about background, the sample conceptual design, the intermediate design plan option, general plan consistency, access and parking, costs and next steps, and then alternatives for consideration. So the area we're talking about is the portion of Short Street between Olihan Alley and East Branch Street. So really just the area that's between Rooster Creek Tavern and Gina's Restaurant. So a little bit of background. In 2009, the council considered closing Short Street to construct a pedestrian open space. On February 23rd of 2010, the council adopted Resolution 4262, which authorized a purchase and sale and improvement agreement to redevelop the property at the eastern corner of Short Street and Branch Street. And it included some modifications to Short Street. And those modifications included straightening and narrowing the travel lane to 16 feet, one way in only, curb gutter and sidewalk, ADA ramp improvements, and all of this was constructed and completed in 2011. So we'll go. Then along came COVID-19. And in addition to the numerous parklets that were installed to provide outdoor dining areas when indoor dining was unavailable due to the pandemic, Short Street was closed and converted to an outdoor dining area by resolution on June 23rd of 2020, and then modified through a second resolution on July 13th of 2020 to allow individual restaurants to use a portion of the closed area for their own customers. A new conceptual design was developed in 2020 by Rooster Creek Tavern and MW Architects. And this is a sample conceptual design that proposes to permanently eliminate vehicular access to Olihan Alley via Short Street and construct a pedestrian plaza. So some of the highlights of this sample plan was a raised landscape median to block vehicle access, the decline from Branch to Olihan Alley would be raised and create a flat pedestrian plaza. It would result in a series of amphitheater-like steps with pavers, trees, lighting, and some outdoor dining space. So here's just some sample renderings. The top left is looking at the site from Branch Street, and then flipped around in the bottom right-hand corner is looking at it from Olihan Alley. So if the council is interested in moving forward with a project that would permanently close and redevelop Short Street with a pedestrian plaza and park, staff is recommending the implementation of an intermediate design plan for Short Street that includes continued closure of the street to vehicles and use as a pedestrian public area, with the removal of the existing concrete K-rail and the addition of decorative traffic-related planter barriers as needed at each end of the street. So this just shows the kind of a design, pretty simple, have some green dots identifying the planters that would be used to just close off the Short Street in the interim period. And if this is the case and staff gets direction, then staff would go through a public outreach program, including design workshops, social media, a refinement of the conceptual design, the completion of a cost analysis, and then some questions also were thrown into the staff report regarding whether or not communal dining would be something the council would want to see here, whether or not this area could be used for the Harvest Festival or Farmers Market. And so those, some of those considerations. In terms of general plan consistency, staff looked at a couple of some of the policies in our land use element. And so in general, there are some policies that support this type of effort. Land use element 6-5, which says that village core developments shall emphasize uses that contribute to the vitality of the whole, creating pedestrian traffic and interest as outlined in the design guidelines. 6-6, the village core encourages the development of outdoor dining and other similar uses, provided they do not impede pedestrian use of the sidewalks. And 6-7, all revitalization, redevelopment, and new development projects in the village core shall include appropriate site planning and urban design amenities to encourage pedestrian travel. So in terms of access and parking, Short Street currently provides one-way access into Olihan Alley. Construction of the project would limit vehicular access to Olihan Alley as the two-way driveways at South Mason Street and Bridge Street. The driveways at both South Mason and Bridge allow right and left turns in and to and out of Olihan Alley. And the conceptual design for council's consideration would neither create nor eliminate any parking spaces. In terms of some costs, a $30,000 scoping budget staff has suggested would be included in the proposed fiscal year 22-23 CIP schedule for cost analysis and design refinement. The intermediate street closure would potentially be between $7,000 and $12,000, and this would be to purchase decorative traffic barrier planters and perhaps picnic tables. The full cost of a pedestrian plaza is unknown at this time. If a public park is included in a future project, potentially park development impact fees could be available to fund a portion of that. So just repeating a little bit, the next steps would be further development of the conceptual plan, public input, refinement of the plan, and cost analysis. In terms of the intermediate street closure plan, it would be removal of the K-rail, addition of the decorative traffic barriers, removal of Rooster Creek Tavern and Gina's use of the street, with a final concept to City Council at a future date, and incorporation into the CIP budget work plan with a future RFP. So based on all that, there's a couple alternatives. One is to receive the updated proposed sample concept plan, receive public comment, and provide staff direction to move forward with further evaluation of the plan, along with a cost analysis and public feedback, with a second part of that alternative to be to provide staff with direction to implement an intermediate design plan for Short Street. And that includes adoption of a resolution to continue closure of Short Street and use as a pedestrian and public area. And you do have a resolution in your packet today for that purpose. The second alternative is to kind of the same thing, receive the updated sample concept plan, public comment, and provide staff direction to move forward with a further evaluation of the concept plan, but then also to direct staff to reopen Short Street to vehicle traffic until the permanent redesign of Short Street is completed. That's the difference between the first part of alternative one and this one. And then number three, do not direct staff to proceed with the redesign of Short Street and just direct that Short Street be reopened to vehicle traffic. And then number four is to provide other direction to staff. And that concludes staff's presentation. Myself and Bill Robeson also worked on this with me. And so we are available for questions.
Thank you very much. Let's start with Councilmember Paulding. Any questions?
No questions, Mayor. Thank you.
All right. Councilmember Barnich, any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Councilmember Storton, 3 for 3.
No, I'm sorry. I have one. when we're discussing the intermediate plan, we would close it off with new barricades. But the interior of that would be further discussed by staff and presented to us at a later date, whether it's seating or something else in the interim while we're waiting to decide if we're going to build something permanent. What would be on the interior of that closed off area?
At this point, it's just going to be open.
Okay.
But we have considered putting benches and or picnic tables in the area. But that kind of precludes use of it as an open area for farmers market, for example, and for the harvest festival. And then you could also move those things around to get them out of the way, but that takes time. And so there's some options that we have. We can slide the tables out. We can work with the farmers market to see how they can put their booths and incorporate them into the space. So there's a little bit more of some just design aspects that we can start to address during this intermediate phase.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem George?
Just one question. I'm sorry I didn't ask this earlier. As I recall, the last council meeting, we had the CIP budget and a lot of the ARPA funding went to cover a lot of the items that were in the CIP. So does that leave us a little bit of a buffer in the CIP budget since we were able to alleviate some of that budget with the ARPA funding?
To leave a buffer. You mean a buffer to allow other monies to be allocated to this project?
Yes.
It does to a certain extent. We'd have to keep looking at the numbers, but at this point, we're allocating that $30,000 so that we can use that for, you know, design and further evaluation of the site.
Okay, thank you. That was my only question.
Brilliant. Mayor Pro Tem, thank you for bringing that up. I have no questions, so let's go ahead and open it up to public comment. Would anyone like to comment on this item?
Patty Welsh, and you're going to get your first public feedback. It's a commercial area is what the village is. And when we discussed this years ago, when Rooster was being built, it was causing Henry problems with his trucks to be able to get in and out of Olahand Alley for him to get his goods. As we go on, you don't know what businesses are going to come or go out of the village. And I think that you need to always think about how are trucks going to get in and get out for deliveries to the stores. The other thing is, what happens in an earthquake or, God forbid, a fire or something else? Don't we need more ways for people who are parked out there to get out of the area? People shopping, you block it off right now, all the parkettes and stuff. People are pulling up, parking there or stopping to let people out. It causes a real problem in the area. Leave Short Street as a street. leave the circulation. I live on the west side of town. Sometimes I'm driving through the village. I forget to turn on Mason. It allows me somewhere to turn if something's going on in the village and I just don't want to deal with the traffic. It allows me an easy turnaround to circumvent going through the village. I'd really like to see this stay as a street. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak on this?
Hello, my name is Luz and I'm from Gymnast Italian representing them. My question on the pictures that we got from the proposal, I saw the Rooster's Creek were expanding their patio, kind of like what we had for COVID-19. Are we going to have the same option to expand the patio for Gymnast, or that's just something that is not done yet?
We'll take the comments and we'll ask all the questions at the end. Did you have any more questions of staff?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Hello, Frank Shiro, Rooster Creek Tavern and Mason Bar. I'll chime right into that example. Just some of the background of this. I was told about this concept by our landlord, and during COVID, and we're trying to find out ways to survive in the outdoor world. I wanted to go down and check out some of the drawings that actually were there from 2010, and so at the time when we were starting this idea, my thought was, I'm not sure the city would really be up for something like this, but maybe we would. So it was a kind of a selfish thought, to be honest. How would we survive COVID if this continued? Because we didn't know that it wasn't going to. And then as it kind of ruminated and we started looking at some of the older concepts with the stairs and how it connected the gazebo, to us, it's not really, as far as restaurant seating, this isn't an issue. This has become way bigger for us. We see it as a much bigger positive for our community and the village as a whole. If we weren't able to add a single table to it, we would be supporting it. And to be honest with you, now that we're back inside and now looking at the size of our kitchen again, sometimes adding tables isn't the best thing. So sure, there are nights when people appreciate not having to wait. That becomes a positive for them, but it brings with it a bigger challenge for us. So we're supportive of it as a community, for community events, and making the village just accessible and economically viable for everybody. And that's where if this council were to find that this is something that is a goal that would help our community as a whole, we'd be in support of it. If they don't, we'd understand that too. As far as access goes, I have to say, knowing all of our delivery trucks, every single delivery truck we have goes down Mason and goes up. All our garbage trucks come up Bridge Street, just because it's such a tight turn. So we don't see an access issue, but we do like the idea of our community having a place that's close, it's beautiful, park-like setting, greener, all of the positives that we see, and we'd like to assist in any way that we can. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience here? All right, then we'll ask AGP if there's anybody on Zoom who'd like to talk.
If anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment on this item, please raise your hand. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. And City Clerk Mattson, any written correspondence received?
There are none.
All right. So I'll close public comment, bring this back around to us. Councilmember Paulding, you want to start off?
Sure. I appreciate the staff effort to kind of pull it all together in the staff report. It's very helpful the way it's laid out with the various options. And I also appreciate the public comment. I think this is a great idea. I think this is one of the, I guess, good things that came out of the pandemic is for us to relook at how our village operates and to make our community more walkable and ultimately to get more people, you know, spending their time in our village and spending their money in our businesses. And I just really like the direction of a plaza in the future and would certainly support the preliminary development of the conceptual plan and the temporary closure and all of that based on the current proposal. So that's where I'm at for starters.
Thank you. Councilmember Storton, you're leaning forward. Go ahead.
I figured you were looking this way. Didn't want to have to make you keep looking back and forth. I appreciate the staff report. I appreciate Mr. Shiro actually talking today. I did meet with him several months back and showed me some of the conceptual plans and just thought, what a great opportunity to enhance our downtown area even more so. I like the idea of multi-use possibilities, just being able to adapt to a number of different venues. I would be sensitive to some of the long-term water and maintenance needs. I know this is preliminary and there's looks like green grass. I don't know if that's green grass or fake grass. But either way, you know, we have to be sensitive to staff time and energy and maintenance and water and things like that. And I'm sure that'll be discussed should we move forward with this. If we move forward with this, which I would be very supportive of, I would recommend that we keep it closed just because by habit, opening it up again would just, I think, create that sense of people wanting to use it more. I think we need to keep it closed and just keep that area more of a pedestrian area so we can just get used to that concept moving forward. I did experience a place similar to this in another city where it did have tables around it and it had little little decal things, you know, where you scan your phone for menus, you know, that everyone did during COVID. And it had like five or six restaurants in the area and you had a number on your table. You'd pick whatever restaurant you wanted. You'd order it on your phone and the restaurant would actually deliver it to the table you were sitting at. And they were like five or six restaurants within a walkable area. So I thought that was kind of a neat concept to get people to eat outside, just throwing that out there. So I'm in very supportive of this idea and would move forward with staff's recommendations.
Thank you. Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. I also met with Mr. Shiro and Mr. Peachy probably over a year ago where we were shown the sample conceptual plan. And let's see. I just have I think delivery trucks and fire trucks, I don't think they navigate this. I don't know for sure because I'm not an engineer, but looking at the narrowness and the turning radius as far as getting in there. So I don't really think that's an option as well, just because it of the, is that true, Mr. Robeson?
I don't know the exact dimensions of the radius there, but we have gone over the design with our fire department and they are perfectly fine with having it closed. And allowing the fire trucks and having their access go through Bridge Street and through Mason Street meeting in the middle or so they feel like that's a very effective path of travel for them.
Okay. Thank you for that. Again, I said this at our last meeting. I think that we were so in the habit of always putting the car first that we've gotten away from thinking about pedestrians, which are as important as cars, to be honest, especially for a quality of life issue. So yes, you're not going to be able, if we close that down, to turn right there, but is it the end of the world? Not at all. And I think the benefits far outweigh the negatives because we are designing a place where people can gather that has more green space, less exhaust for the people that are sitting there eating. So I think it's a great idea. I am in favor of moving forward with the temporary closure while we investigate how much this will cost. Of course, that will be a consideration, what the maintenance is that's involved. I am only in favor of the city pursuing this, no partnerships. I just think that's a cleaner way to do it. I know staff had asked about that in the staff report. And so I would be in favor of if we can afford it just it's our project, it's our land. And so that's what I would be no leasing of that land. Let's see. I know we're going to see this come back supposedly if you get enough votes. I do prefer the old plan. I actually like it a lot. I haven't seen it in a while. I think I liked it back then that the city had come up with. As far as just the aesthetics, it has a little more area for shade, a little more green space. We can definitely do something that's drought resistant. So just for a comment, I really do like that plan. And then if you can go back to the slide where you showed, I think, Brian, the planters or the bollards or the planters and the different examples. So this might just be a picky thing, but from a design standard, I really love the circular planter that's in the top right, since this is perhaps going to be happening rather soon without coming back. Just all the right angles out there in the hardscape, a circular planter just softens it a little bit. And so that would be my only comment, and I'm ready to move forward with the temporary closure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem George.
Thank you. I also had ex parte communication with Frank Shiro, with Mr. Peachy, along with Councilmember Barnett. We were able to receive an early presentation of this concept. I thought it was just a few months ago. I can't believe it's been a year. I put a few months back, but it could very well have been a year. I'm in support of continued closure, and I would love to direct staff to move forward to next steps. The potential uses of this site are endless, and I look forward to utilizing it in a much better way than just being a short street that I think it's been closed long enough that we've proven that we don't need it to be a street. I think the conceptual design is very intriguing. It offers a lot of great value for our residents, for our visitors. Something that I have found in speaking to all of my friends, and I'm sure if you speak to your friends, you'll find everyone will say the same thing. My doctor said, I am vitamin D deficient. Everyone seems to be saying that. And so any way that we can encourage our residents to gather together, to be outside, we talk a lot about the drought. And one of the things about living here is, yes, we may not have water, but we sure do have a lot of sunshine. And so being able to enjoy that sunshine in a cute little area like this is something I would be very much in support of. I would not be in support of reopening Short Street at this time. It's already been closed. People are used to being closed. I would rather keep it closed, and I would support the round planters if it came to that. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have a few things to add. Hadn't even thought about the round planters. Thank you. So that's three. going back in the history books, we didn't keep that closed because we were worried, or keep that open because we were worried about truck circulation. We were worried about parking circulation. And I was on planning commission at that time. And it has been a great regret of mine that we didn't go the full Monty at that time and getting it all closed. And we didn't do that out of fear. We were afraid of what was going to happen. And COVID allowed us to do a proof of concept. And we found out that the sky didn't fall. Nobody crashed. Everybody was able to park. Businesses are growing. And we did what we should have done in the first place, which was close it down temporarily and give it a shot. So I think that, again, the pros far outweigh the costs. And again, this is something that I was hoping all along that we could do. And like Mr. Shiro, didn't ever know if there was going to be an appetite to do this. And we rarely get a chance to go back and change what we've done in the past. I too had ex parte communications, just like everyone else. We were all invited to do that. I don't know if you went and did that, but
I was, and I'll go ahead and disclose that. Okay. This is a legislative matter, so we're not obligated to disclose, but I will. Yes, I met with Mr. Shiro and saw the design about a year ago. It's great. Thank you.
So regarding some of the finer things that we were asked about, in terms of the old plan, I like the old plan. It's pretty. It has lots of plants, but it doesn't allow the flexibility. And so I like the idea of just kind of tabula rasa right now, and let's see what concepts come forward as we do public outreach and all of that. It's funny that I didn't see it in the staff report, and I wrote it down. And then I obviously telepathically gave that to Bill, who said it publicly, that putting benches there actually conflicts with the flexibility of the space. It also creates a cleanliness issue
and a trash issue. So I definitely would just kind of like to see people milling around and having a cocktail while they wait for their table and possibly using that space during festivals. So I think that's great. The continued close, I would say yes. For the new barriers, round, awesome. For benches, no. Harvest Festival, Farmers Market. I wanted to throw another couple things in there. We could have music in there. We could have temporary art installations in there. There's lots of really cool things that we could do with that space being even temporarily just sort of bare. And so with all of that being said, I'm in favor of alternative one with the temporary closed. And I am grateful that this council seems to want to give at least us old farts the chance to get a do-over on a vote that we should have done before. And I don't know how often we get to say yes to a new park. And I'm so excited about that. So with that, would someone like to make a motion?
Mayor, yes. If I could jump in just for one moment, I wanted to make sure that we gave feedback to the one of the commenters.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So I think it's kind of a two-part. In the intermediate design plan, if you'd show that, Brian, there's going to be no opportunity for expanded tables and chairs for anyone. And then as we go through the design process, what I'm hearing as direction to staff is that we're going to mainly leave it open and not have expansion of the table and chair areas for any restaurants as well. Although we're going to go through a design concept process where we can get feedback from you and the folks you work with and anybody else in the village and in the city that wants to give us some feedback on how the design should look and function in the future.
Thank you.
Sure.
And please, my apologies for not asking that question on your behalf. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Was somebody going to hop their mic?
Okay.
I'll move. I have it up. I'll move a resolution to City Council of the City of Aurora Grandy authorizing the temporary closure of Short Street south of East Branch Street and north of Olihan Alley to accommodate its use as a common outdoor eating area during the COVID-19 reopening process. Is that right? Am I reading the right one?
I'm not sure we wanted the common eating area.
Yeah. Gathering area.
This is page 178.
That one? Area. Yes.
We are trying to pull up the recommended action to see if we can.
And we have the resolution in there too. We may need to put that on, adjust that on the fly as well.
So right now we have concept plan, receive public comment, and it really is kind of, I guess, vague with the what's in there. And then in the intermediate, we have it as a use as a pedestrian and public area. So there's no outdoor dining listed in the alternative.
Yes. I'll amend my motion.
I will second. Any discussion?
I would like to oppose the circular planners. I'm just kidding. No comments under discussion.
My eyeballs almost fell out of my head just now. All right. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Can we get a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem George.
Yes.
Mayor Mae Wressam.
Yes.
Councilmember Storton.
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding.
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage.
Yes.
All right. We'll take a real quick 5-minute break and come back for our last item.
Madam Mayor. Hello.
The attorney. I think we missed something.
We need it. Okay. We need to adopt the resolution to keep it closed.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what he said.
Okay.
We need to adopt the resolution
to keep it closed.
Oh, did we not say that? Okay.
So no,
I will do that now, and we'll do that with a short council. So I will move that we adopt a resolution of the City Council of the City of Aurora Grande authorizing continued temporary closure of Short Street south of East Branch Street and north of Olihan Alley to accommodate its use as a pedestrian and public area.
Second.
Discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Mayor Ray Ressam?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Storton?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem George is not in the room.
All right, thanks, everyone. Sorry about that. Thank you, Tim. problem. Okay. Welcome back, everyone. This is item now returning to the City Council agenda. This is item 11B, consideration of approval of a child care assistance grant program. And I see Director Bolkin here.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of the council. My name is Sheridan Bolkin, and I serve as your Recreation Services Director. Tonight, I'm presenting for consideration a child care grant, child care assistance grant program, as was requested in October of 2021. So in March of 2021, President Biden signed the American Rescue Plan Act, referred to as ARPA, into law. This is a $1.9 trillion nationwide economic recovery package to aid families, governments, businesses, schools, nonprofits, and others impacted by COVID-19. Eligible uses for ARPA funds include support for and reimbursements for public health expenditures, measures to address the negative economic impacts caused by COVID-19, replacement of lost public sector revenues, to provide premium pay for essential workers, and to invest in our future through water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. Through state allocations to non-entitlement units of local government, Arroyo Grande is to receive $4.3 million. This council discussed how these monies would be spent on July 27th and October 12th of 2021 and directed that $100,000 be spent towards a child care assistance program to be developed in coordination with the local public agency First Five, a leader in the collective effort to support young children. For reference, here is a list of the dedicated ARPA funding for the city of Arroyo Grande. As directed, staff met with representatives from First Five, as well as the San Luis Obispo County Child Care Planning Council, We Are the Care Initiative, CAPS Low, Mayor Pro Tem George, and the Family Child Alternative Payment Program. From that meeting, several priorities for this grant program were established, and throughout the conversation, it was apparent that there is a lack in available space for child care in our community. The priorities that were established were to provide child care startup businesses assistance to generate more child care slots within the community, increase the capacity of existing child care businesses that are already established, ensure the retention of current child care businesses, and to provide funding to recruit, attract, and retrain train professional child care staff. In reference to scholarships for local families, this potential priority was discussed with the collective group. However, it was determined that the greatest need is for more child care slots to be made available. There are several resources for individual funding for families, including the South County Youth Coalition, County Office of Education, CAPS Low, and individual child care centers with scholarship programs and grant funding available for families in need. Also part of the discussion was the eligibility to be considered for the child care assistance program. It was decided that by requiring businesses and care centers to be licensed, this would provide a level of care that is monitored and tracked by the Department of Social Services. In communication with local agencies, it was learned that family child care homes, those businesses that operate out of one's personal home, are not required to have a business license per law SB 234, but child care centers would be required to have a current city business license. Also, it was determined that the funds would be eligible to support the program's goals of increasing the number of child care slots, maintaining current operations, or by providing premium pay for staff. For further support to require child care licensing through the Department of Social Services, the goal of the licensing program is solely to ensure the health and safety of children in care. Their services are focused on prevention through programs and training opportunities, compliance regulations and mandated reporting, and enforcement through local offices in conjunction with local law enforcement. Random checks are performed and staff to participant ratios are regulated. An administrative court and judge oversee these licenses, and complaints or revocations of such licensees or providers are open to public records. The proposed child care assistance grant program is ready to be released with your approval. As suggested, applications are due by September 30th, 2022, with a minimum awards amount of $1,000. Panel member suggestions are representatives from First Five, We Are the Care Initiative, the Child Care Planning Council, and City Staff, and the South County Chamber of Commerce. These agencies were included to be members of the panel to award funding based on their experience in child care in this county, as well as the representation of local families, children, and the industry that supports our future generations. The goals of this program are to increase the number of available child care slots, increase access and affordability by absorbing expenses that would otherwise raise fees, support mechanisms to recruit, attract, and retain professional child care staff, all while ensuring the health and safety of children in child care. This grant program directly addresses the trilemma facing child care in our county, which existed even pre-COVID. By addressing child care quality through licensing requirements, affordability by providing business assistance, and accessibility by providing more child care slots, we are making progress. Support from agencies will be best utilized through direct assistance with the application process and therefore will be relieved of any perceived bias. The next steps in this process is to receive feedback and direction from your council. A meeting with local agency representatives will follow and the grant application process will be announced. After applications are received and the deadline passes, the awards panel will be convened and final recommendations will be approved by the city manager. This concludes my presentation and I look forward to any public comment and your direction to approve the proposed child care assistance grant program.
Thank you very much. Let's check in with the council. Councilmember Barnage, any questions? Mm-hmm. Councilmember Storton?
No, thank you.
Councilmember Paulding? Mayor Pro Tem?
No questions.
And I had several that I had answered before the meeting. So thank you. So we'll go ahead and open up public comment. Any questions? Okay. The one person, for those of you at home, is saying no. And can we check in with AGP to see if there's someone online who would like to speak?
If anyone on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. We do have one speaker so far, Shauna Paulson. Shauna, please unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you. My name is Shauna Paulson. I'm the Children's Services Manager at the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, working in the Child Care Resource Connection, where you're a designated resource and referral and alternative payment program for San Luis Obispo County. What this means is we maintain a great deal of data on our local child care supply and also track families' needs or the demand for care in all the cities and communities across the county. I want to thank you for your decision to dedicate ARPA dollars to the child care sector. I'm really excited about the plan before you and want to express our intent to support outreach and promotion, as well as provide some direct assistance to any potential applicants as a means of supporting equitable access to the opportunity that you're extending. Thank you so much for your time and for everyone who asked great questions. It helps our work to understand what your concerns and interests are, and just really appreciated the opportunity to provide input and data into your process. Thank you so very much.
Madam Mayor, that was the only speaker on Zoom.
Thank you. And any written correspondence received?
There are none.
All right, so we'll close public comment, bring it back to us. Councilmember Barnage?
I am ready to move forward with staff's recommendation.
Councilmember Shorten?
Sheridan, yay you. Thank you so much. Mayor Pro Tem, thank you. And partners' participation in getting this together. Very supportive, and we'll love to see this happen.
Councilmember Paulding?
I will just echo those comments. There was a long list of people that obviously worked on this, especially Mayor Pro Tem and our staff. I think Administrative Services Director Valentine was also part of that, and Deputy City Clerk Landsberg. And all the other partners, and I just want to express my gratitude for that, because it's really cool that our council made this a priority, and then our staff worked with the partners and got it done, and it's government doing what it should be doing, working for the people. So thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem.
I just wanted to thank staff for taking this and running with it and bringing together all the experts in our area in regards to childcare. And I know that you're going to do an excellent job administering these much needed grants. And we need childcare, and this is one step in the right direction. So thank you for all your hard work.
I'm going to digress into a very small story of what happened at school the other day, because I was sitting here listening to my colleagues and I wanted to say ditto. And one of my colleagues said, I asked her, do you know what a ditto is? And she said, not only do I not know what that is, I don't even know what the context of that is. And it made me feel so old that she didn't know what a ditto was, but I will say ditto to all the people and all the names that were rattled off and all the people that we didn't name for doing all of this. And we've had, I know the We Are the Care people aren't here at this time tonight, but their steadfast attendance at these meetings made a difference. And I just want to be very clear that we should thank the We Are the Care initiative for putting this on the front burner and making sure that we couldn't forget about it, especially those of us who are pushing kids off into college rather than into childcare. It's easy to forget how difficult those years were. So thank you to the We Are the Care initiative that put this on the front burner and allowed us to remember it and take action on it. So with that, would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed child care assistance grant program and authorize the city manager to execute grant agreements with grant recipients.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Any discussion? All right. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Paulding.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem George.
Yes.
Councilmember Storton.
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge.
Yes.
Mayor Ray Bressa.
Yes. All right. In record time, we are at council communications this evening. And I'll start with a little bit of an issue that was brought up in the city manager's weekly update. And I told my husband I was going to say this. So I value being married more than I value getting in trouble for reducing to no quorum on the 28th of July. So with apologies to the council and to staff, I too will not be at that meeting. I didn't know that until a couple of days ago. So that's going to necessitate us to cancel that meeting for lack of quorum. So the suggestion is potentially bringing back the first meeting of July. Even though we gave direction to cancel it, based on maybe just needing another meeting, or maybe we need a special meeting. I don't know, but, I was told that the right time to bring that up is council communications because the direction we gave was to cancel the one in July.
Well, I am available on that meeting in June. I just not here. It will be remote. So does that not constitute a quorum?
I believe that's the one we need 4 votes.
But there's nothing else on the agenda that would be helpful to still have a meeting if I attended remotely?
These are good questions. So I think the way we've structured the items that require 4 votes is we're planning on bringing them before that date anyway. So we should be able to, as long as we have 4 people who are ready to adopt an ordinance on June 14th, we should be okay. The items on June 28th, I think they can wait, or at least what we had slated. What I can't recall, because I already moved them off of that day, is whether I think we were potentially going to talk about the ADU ordinance and or SB9. And we have an interesting combination of council members who would need to be available for that. So I need to go back and make sure that each person, I don't think if it was the ADU ordinance, I don't think we'd be able to bring it at that time. So there's not anything urgent and pressing that would necessitate that meeting unless we don't approve the budget on the 14th. That would be the big item that we would need to bring on the 28th.
Well, I'm happy to try to attend remotely if needed. I'm also happy to cancel that meeting because that was my original idea, because I think that's when some people are going to vacation more than the other dates. So
Oh, I'm sorry for that. I thought that you for sure weren't going to be there. So I thought I was the one that was causing the no quorum. So if that's not a problem anymore, then maybe we just don't need to worry about it.
Don't need to worry about it in what way?
As in we don't need to cancel it. I thought I was forcing a cancel because I knew you two were gone.
Well, I will say that it will be remote for sure. I will not be here. I will be in the mountains. I've never done that. Well, that's not true. I have done some meetings from that area before, not serious meetings. Like if I can't get back on or something, you know, it's more of the HSOC meetings, et cetera. So I'm happy to try it.
Any guidance?
I think we could wait and see also that if we were going to cancel that meeting, we would bring back an agenda item on consent to have it canceled. We could hold off on doing that on May 24th, see where we are on the 14th. I know that kind of puts a cart before a horse, potentially, depending on the order of things and the budget. We can keep it on calendar and just determine what we might have on that date.
And that would be the one where if we needed to do a second hearing about budget, that would be where that would
That's
go,
correct.
Typically, right? So
That's
we
correct.
May not need to do that, but depending on what happens on the 14th.
Right.
Okay.
And then, Jessica, would I have to be on camera? Because that's obviously more of a problem just due to a signal versus calling in.
You do not have to be on the camera to participate in the meeting.
Oh, I thought council had to be, but other people did not or something like that. Oh, is that after the governor's, if he rescinds that or something as far as the COVID stipulations? No? Okay.
No, the camera thing versus audio is just, I think, more of a preference.
Okay. Okay.
Than it is a rule.
Right. Okay. All right. And just in case the signal, it's obviously less required for the non-camera. Okay. Thank you.
And then I had one more thing, and that is just to report that this CJPIA had their annual report and they got an unmodified report. So basically that means that everything's hunky-dory. Any other council communications? All right. Well, then the item 13, closed session, we have none. So item 14 is adjournment. Thank you, everyone.